AT&T, just bolted on Lumen's mass-market broadband business, is pushing a flat-price wireless plus fiber bundle and is bragging about a 2x upload speed lead, while churn is up and a Supreme Court fight could upend FCC fines.
And I'm Alex. In Q1 2026, AT&T closed the Lumen deal ahead of schedule. Management said it adds roughly 1.1 million fiber customers and more than 4 million fiber locations passed. AT&T now passes over 37 million locations with fiber and still targets 60 million plus by 2030. For the quarter, it reported 584,000 total broadband net adds, 273,000 fiber, and 239,000 from Internet Air fixed wireless. It also launched One Connect, a flat-price bundle for wireless plus fiber. John Stankey said this is how AT&T will go to market to drive deeper fiber penetration and more converged relationships.
AT&T is using performance to sell that convergence. In OpenSignal's first converged report, it ranked number one for converged upload speeds, more than twice as fast as the closest competitor. And AT&T Fiber ranked number one in both upload and download for customers who take home broadband and mobile from the same provider. The company said 42% of its home internet customers also choose AT&T Wireless. As Jennifer Robertson put it, fast upload speeds are indispensable as customers game, stream, share, and rely more on AI-enabled experiences.
The bet is lifetime value. Lower churn, bigger baskets. But it comes with near-term cost. CFO Pascal Desroches said they're investing significantly to stand up the Lumen organization, so the P&L will carry integration costs. Rivals aren't standing still. Verizon closed its Frontier Communications acquisition and says it's on track to exceed 32 million fiber passings this year. T-Mobile set up new fiber joint ventures to buy Go NetSpeed, Greenlight Networks, and i3 Broadband, framing fiber as an equity value play rather than a convergence must-have. AT&T is leaning hardest into national convergence.
Execution now moves to plumbing and penetration, integrating OSS, BSS, local ops, and construction pipelines, and then turning those passings into paying customers. The first checkpoint is One Connect attach among those 1-2 line wireless households Stankey flagged as long tenure candidates once they add fiber.
Now the pressure points. Morningstar's read on Q1, total revenue up 2.9%, helped by wireless device sales and a small Lumen contribution. But wireless services revenue growth slowed to 1.7%, the weakest in 5 years. Postpaid phone churn rose 9% year over year and 29% versus Q1 2024. And average revenue per postpaid phone customer was flat. Management still targets 2% to 3% wireless service revenue growth for 2026, mostly on net adds and some price actions, but acknowledged pressure from pursuing lower-end segments and bundle discounts.
Channel dynamics make that tougher. Recon analytics data, cited by Phone Arena, show Walmart Supercenters drew 17.4% of all U.S. wireless store visits in Q2 2025, more than T-Mobile at 16.1%, with AT&T and Verizon at about 12.8% and 12.5%. One in five Walmart wireless visitors is a prepaid or MVNO user across brands like Cricket, Straight Talk, TracFone, and Metro. That's the pool carriers want to upgrade to postpaid. But current promos rarely fit Walmart's income mix, and tighter credit checks stall conversions. Carriers may be letting Walmart absorb low-value traffic as they automate and shrink their own retail footprints.
AT&T's convergence math works best with credit-qualified households willing to take two services. If foot traffic consolidates in a partner optimized for prepaid economics, the postpaid upsell flow weakens. Tactically, AT&T could pilot softer credit paths, deposits, or prepaid to postpaid ladders tied to Internet Air. Then migrate to fiber where available. The trade-off is delinquency risk and promo dilution versus lifetime value from a converged relationship.
Expect selective promotion, even as carriers say they're selling the network, not the handset. If AT&T can segment Walmart traffic to grow Cricket efficiently, while preserving One Connect incentives for higher LTV accounts, RPU pressure can be contained. If not, that 1.7% service revenue growth pace becomes a ceiling. A near-term signal, the mix of postpaid phone net adds relative to Internet Air net adds, and any movement in postpaid RPU.
Regulation adds another swing factor. AT&T and Verizon urged the Supreme Court to find the FCC's forfeiture orders unconstitutional under the Seventh Amendment, citing SEC versus Jarkissi from 2024. They argued the orders demand payment within 30 days. There is nothing voluntary about either the demand or the deadline, and, at minimum, asked for refunds on more than $100 million in fines tied to 2024 location data cases. Oral arguments took place April 21st.
The FCC warned that removing fine authority would hamstring enforcement on privacy and robocalls, and could push it toward blunter tools like license suspensions. Either outcome creates volatility. Slower litigated penalties reduce near-term deterrence. Harsher non-monetary remedies raise stakes. That shifts compliance ROI, legal reserves, and timelines for resolving disputes.
And per Barron's, there's friction over a potential SpaceX phone. The gist? AT&T is pushing back on steps that could enable direct-to-cell satellite services to function like a terrestrial carrier. Non-terrestrial networks are getting closer to commercial relevance, and incumbents will defend licensed spectrum and terrestrial economics. The policy path will shape whether satellite becomes a complement via partnerships or a rival retail channel.
If the Supreme Court trims the FCC's fining process, expect longer enforcement cycles, or paradoxically, more aggressive remedies. If direct-to-cell gains ground, AT&T will lean even harder into performance and convergence, where that upload speed lead helps, or pursue selective satellite partnerships. Regulatory clocks, not marketing plans, are pacing this.
The one big thing to watch: can AT&T convert Lumen-boosted fiber scale and a 2x converged upload speed lead into higher lifetime value without sacrificing postpaid ARPU by year-end?